You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 9th of December. The Jazz get everything right against Memphis, so we should be unconcerned. Maybe not so much. Chris Paul and Oklahoma City come into town playing great, and we'll run around the NBA on a Monday. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers. Hope you're doing great, had a wonderful weekend, and are ready for a fun week as the holidays get closer and closer. All right, so the Jazz blow out the Memphis Grizzlies, and they did play differently, particularly on the offensive end, than they have recently, and that was great to see. Bunch of little things that should jump out to you on this performance by the Jazz. The offensive rating was a 124. So that's pretty much one of the best offensive games, the Jazz have had all year, surpassing their previous game against the Warriors, which was their best offensive game, which surpassed their previous game against the Pelicans, which was their best offensive game, which gets me to a little bit of what my concern is here, is that our best three offensive games are against really bad defensive teams. So that's good. I mean, that at least, if you're not doing that, then you're in trouble. We went 19 of 34 from three. We're on fire from three in our last two games. We actually went 14 of 31 against the Lakers from three. We're shooting lights out because we knew we could do that. And I thought there was a bunch of things we did way better than we've done earlier in the year. So there's a lot of encouraging things. We took four long twos for the entire game, which was the fewest amount. So at least, you know, if a team is allowing us to, we're doing a better job. We only took 14 of the kind of paint non-restricted area shots. We definitely take too many of those. We've talked about it a lot. And I've got an interesting thought for you on Donovan and Kemba there that I'll get into in the show today. And Damian Lillard, and maybe we should all back off Donovan a little bit. But then if you dig in, there's some other things that took place. We threw 318 passes. Our number this year has been about 291, which is way down. If you look at us over the history, we were at 389 5 years ago, so we're down 100 passes. We were at 314 last year, seventh in the NBA, and now we're at about 291. That's a good, considerable uptick, though, in the last few weeks that our passing numbers are going up. So you're seeing signs of togetherness and playing better. Ingles and Gobert combined and kind of dominated in the pick and roll. Joe had a very, very good game with that. The one thing that is a little tricky, by the way, frankly, is that, and I talk about this a lot, is that if Joe has the ball in his hands, he can't pass to himself. But you know what? We need some consistent backup point guard play, and without Mike Conley in the lineup, which we didn't have, which I suspect he'll be back against Oklahoma City, but maybe he needs another few days. It is valuable to have Joe, and Moutier and Exum are not showing a lot of signs of being able to kind of be that point guard type player. Moutier had a very good game against Memphis, though. That was probably the best game he's played all year in regards to moving the basketball, playing in the system, doing the things that Quinn's going to want him to do. So that was encouraging. It's a funny, we're going to go bananas when we have a bad offensive game. So doesn't seem like, oh, we have a great offensive game and I don't want to poo-poo it. But, you know, really what happened is we shot lights out. We had an effective field goal percentage of 68%, and it's a make or miss league. And sometimes you do that, right? We did that in the third game of the year in Sacramento and won by 32. My point is you really can't rely on being a 68% effective field goal percentage team on a given night. And it was great to see us, you know, get home, get 2 days off, get practiced, do all those things, and then be that good. That's terrific. But the way I would say it is we come into this really interesting stretch here, and I have no idea what's about to happen. Oklahoma City tonight's pretty good. They've won 4 of 5. We'll dig into them a little bit more. Then we go to Minnesota. I don't really know whether we can win there. We have Golden State at home on Friday, which we probably should get. We have 3 days off before Orlando at home, which you'd hope we can get. But Orlando's really good defensively, and if our offensive struggles are there, that could be a... what I do know right now is that if we're on a long road trip and we're tired, that we cannot match up with the 3 or 4 best teams in the Eastern Conference as we are sitting here in November, and that the Lakers are better than us. The Lakers are better than everyone. The Lakers look awesome. We'll dig into that later as we kind of run around the NBA of what's going on. And offensively, right, we're still have some issues. We're in the bottom 10 in both offensive rebounding and in turnovers. Being in bottom 10 of 2 of the 4 factors makes it awfully difficult for us to be a good offensive team, even if we're shooting the lights out, which we're doing a pretty good job of shooting right now. You know, that was an area where we thought we'd be really good, and guess what? We are really good. We're the second best 3-point shooting team in the league. We're the 12th best effective field goal percentage team in the league. We could probably be a little bit better than that. Our catch and shoot numbers are just stupid good, so that if we can increase that, it would make a big difference in who we are. I mean, when we swing it and we get a catch and shoot game going, it's ridiculous. Boyan's 50%. Jeff Green's 39, taking the second most. Donovan's 40. O'Neal's 50%. Mike Conley's 42. Joe Ingles is 37%. And that's with Joe Ingles being 2 of 19 on corner threes this year. George Niang's 40%. We get to play catch and shoot three. If it's anyone other than Moutier, we're at 1.2 points per possession plus. And so that's where the increased passes, the increased ball movement is a really good sign. Now let's see what we can do against a good Oklahoma City team and a good Minnesota team. I'm just not sure I know the answer to that. And can we have the shot distribution be as good as it was the other night? I'm not sure I know that either. And can we get some consistent play off the bench? Like, frankly, we just can't rely on Jeff Green to go have an unreal night, which is really what happened, right? The second quarter, we exploded having all of these struggles, and Jeff Green was a large reason why. Jeff was great. He went 7 of 9 for the field and 5 of 6 from 3. You know, it's interesting. His 35% three-point shooting is the best it's been in his career since the 12-13 season, which is a long time ago, by the way. So that's, I think that's great win. Excited they got the win. Had to get it. Great feel-good day. Got to have those. Talent level's really different, right? Memphis probably has, what does Memphis probably have? 4 or 5 guys on their roster that could play, would get minutes for us. Valanciunas would be our backup center. I don't know. Jay Crowder would probably play for us. Dylan Brooks might get a few minutes for us. Same way, actually, I felt about the Laker game. Like, I looked down the list on the Laker game and was like, which of our guys plays for them? Right? Like, they're that good. All right, I want to talk about Donovan and the floater. I've hammered it. We've all hammered it. Okay, first thing is Donovan's 6'1". So it's not easy for Donovan to get to the basket. Like, Devin Booker and Donovan have just these totally different shot charts. And it's because Devin Booker's 6'6". Here's what's really interesting about Donovan. Rim shooting, Donovan Mitchell is shooting the exact same percentage as Kemba Walker, close to the same percentage as Dame Lillard, 58-60, and the same as Kyle Lowry using Kyle Lowry's last year's number. On the short mid-range shot, the floater, Donovan's actually better than Kemba by a lot, 11 percentage points. Better than Dame Lillard, or same as Dame Lillard and right around Kyle Lowry. On the long two, he's actually better than them. He's 50%, Kemba's 44, Dame's 46, Kyle Lowry's 44. Corner three, they don't take much. Above the break three, Donovan's actually the best of the group, 40%. Kemba's 40%. Dame's 36%. Kyle Lowry last year was 39%. And yet, Donovan's effective field goal percentage is the worst of the group. So Donovan's better or the same at every location, but he's the worst of the group in effective field goal percentage. Let me dig into why coming up and why it's not okay, but it's understandable. If that makes sense. Today's show is brought to you by Homie. Homie is revolutionizing the real estate market as we know it, changing the way people do business, taking the commission structure, sending it out the roof, and giving you an opportunity to save thousands and thousands of dollars. We all know that Homie can now buy and sell a house for you. That's right. Homie can now help you out with buying your house as well. So when you buy a house, it's not free. The money you pay for your home is used by the seller, their agent, and whatever agent you choose. Homie is now doing all of the regular things for you, helping you find your dream home, tour homes, make offers, negotiate the best deals, and then work to get you $5,000 back. Just go to homie.com or text LOCK, L-O-C-K-E, to 88588. That's LOCK to 88588 to find out more about what Homie can do for you. Text LOCK to 88588. As the holiday season is running around right now and there's all sorts of different things and trips to be done, what about Audible? We've got a great deal for you. From Audible right now is the best time to do 53% off your first 3 months. That's right. You right now can get Audible 3 months for just $6.95 a month. It's more than half off the regular price. Visit audible.com/lockedonNBA or text lockedonNBA to 500-500. That's audible.com/lockedonNBA or text lockedonNBA to 500-500. So you're going on a long drive. I'm heading up to Jackson next weekend to listen to watch my son's ski race. Maybe it's time for Trevor Noah's Born a Crime. Hysterical, great book. I've actually already heard it on audio. Educated, if you haven't heard Educated yet, amazing, amazing story. Certainly worth getting Audible. And then David Baldacci has a new great book out called One Good Deed. There's a million things out there for a great listen. And Audible gives it to you. And with this special deal at audible.com/lockedonNBA, you can get it for just $6.95. cents a month. That's audible.com/lockedonNBA. All right, so here's the thing on the, on the Donovan stuff. He's in his third year in the NBA. So you're right. I'm right. The floater is excessive. The floater that Donovan is shooting is a low percentage shot. He takes the most of anyone in the NBA. He doesn't make them at a very high rate. He needs to reduce the floater. And Kemba Walker and Dame Lillard have already done this. And Donovan needs to do it. Well, guess what? Dame Lillard's 29 years old. He entered the league in 12-13 when Donovan was like in sixth grade. And if you look at his shooting chart, while yes, it is much better than Donovan's today, it has evolved. In his fourth year in the league, he was taking 30% of his shots as mid-range shots, and now it's down to 21%. He's evolved. It's incredible what he's done. He's now down in the 7th percentile of all mid-range shots. And why? Because he developed the off-the-bounce three. And right now, he's incredible. He's shooting 46% on off-the-bounce three. He's shooting 44% above the break. And what has Donovan done? Donovan's gone from 28% on off-the-bounce to 31% off-the-bounce to 36% off-the-bounce in 3 years. It's incredible. It's coming. Kemba Walker, who people have forgotten, but at 6'1", same size as Donovan, was in his third year in the league, first 4 years in the league was a below average offensive player. What was his shot chart look like? He took 47% mid-range shots his first three years in the league. 44 his fourth year. Then it went to 36. Then it went down to 28. Now it's at 27. It's taken him 9 years of figuring it out. What did he do? One, he added the off-the-bounce three, and now he's taking 49% of his shots as threes, and a large amount of those are off the bounce threes. You still want to get to the rim. There's no question. But Donovan, who has taken gone the wrong direction, that's why it's hard for us. He went from 32% of his shots as mid-range, 40%, back up now to 46. He's in the 90th percentile. It's too much, right? I think we all know it. But this is part of the evolution of what happens in his game as he develops. It is definitely, hey, I got to be a bona fide big-time scorer, big-time scorer, scorer in the mid-range. Eh, that's the belief. It's not entirely true. And it's kind of gotten out of whack. But it's also part of the progression of learning of what we're seeing. And as I talked about, the off-the-bounce three is the key to it. He's taking 3.4 off-the-bounce threes a game. Last year, he took 3.8. He shot 33% on him, as I said. And the year before, he took 3.9 and he shot 29%. So he's actually reduced the number of off-the-bounce threes. That's the number that he'll just have to pick up. That's the number that's going to change for him. Because when you look at Dame and you look at Kemba Walker, that's what's actually happened with them. So if we go dig into Dame, Dame's numbers are ridiculous this year. It's really kind of awesome. So Dame's taking 6.5 off the bounce threes this year and hitting like 39%. In 18-19, he took 5.3, hit 36%. Donovan's already there. 17-18, he took 5.4, hit 37%. 16-17, he took 4.7 at 36%. Like, Donovan's there. And now this year, Dame's just gone a little nuts with it, and now is taking 6.5 a game, which is beautiful. Because once you're at 36%, that's a good shot to take. And Kemba's the same story. Kemba, has evolved from being the point guard driver. I mean, Kemba couldn't really shoot when he first came in the league, which is so awesome about what Kemba's done. But Kemba in Boston now is taking 6 of them a game and making 39%. I mean, that is deadly. Last year he took 6 a game and Charlotte made 36%. The year before he took 5 a game, hit 38%. Donovan's there. Now Donovan just has to be willing to pull that trigger and take 6 off the bounce, threes a game, and see if he can maintain that percentage at 36, 37%. He's in his third year that good a shooter already that he's there. It's pretty impressive. He's taking 3 a game, and he probably needs to double that number. Crazy. Probably needs to get himself to 9 threes a game, and so take 3 of those floaters, which he actually makes it lower than 36%, and turn him into off-the-bounce threes. Now, feels like you're being less aggressive, you're not penetrating, feels like you're being more selfish. It's a really interesting evolution for him in that regard. Oklahoma City tonight, they're good. OKC's won 4 of 5. They really handled, impressively, frankly, handled the Blazers last night. It was their 8th best offensive game of the year. They're coming off their best offensive game of the year where they literally stole a game against Minnesota from Chris Paul. They beat the Thunder. They beat the Pelicans back-to-back, lost to Indiana in the middle there. So they've won 4 of their last 5. They're not particularly red hot from 3 or anything crazy. They've gone to the line 74 times in the last 2 games. Chris Paul is conducting. They are, and then when Chris Paul's conducting, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is playing pretty darn well. Danilo Gallinari is bona fide, and Dennis Schroeder's coming off the bench to give them a little bit of a spark, and Chris Paul's just in control of the game. Their bench is thin, but athletic and long and can't really shoot. It'll be interesting to see. The one thing that's interesting to me on and I understand he's Chris Paul and he's a master and all those kind of things. He does not go to the rim anymore. Like, he does not go to the rim at all. And it's amazing to me how much teams back off him when he's driving, when he's just not going to go to the rim. He's taken four shots. This can't be right. Is this right? Is that really? No, this has to be. In the last five games, he's taken four shots at the rim. He's taken 21 all year. He's taken 137 in the mid-range. And the problem is you can't go under on the pick and roll on him because he's 42% on above the break threes, which are this off the bounce three. So then you're trailing him, then he's snaking underneath, then he's playing in control. And he's a pretty good lob thrower to Steven Adams. So he's really tricky. But he is not going to the rim anymore. At all. Gallinari is tough. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is tough. Gilgeous-Alexander is not a great shooter. And then they got a bunch of just guys who will play hard, and if we don't play hard, we'll get beat. So it's an interesting mix tonight. And they're good, right? They're the ninth, like their offense is like 19th, their defense is 15th. They're 10-12. I think they're a playoff team in the Western Conference. And this is the kind of game I'm just not sure. Here's the most interesting thing about Oklahoma City. They're the only team in the NBA who actually scores more points per possession in the half court than they do in transition. Like the Jazz play much more transition or half court than transition, but their points per possession is like 25 points better in transition than in the half court. Oklahoma City is actually better in the half court than in transition. So it's a really slow game tonight. We'll see how, if the Jazz can force that and get some transition opportunities on against them. Be interesting to see if the Jazz can do that. Because I'm not totally sure whether we have that in us. If we're that truly that much of a running team at our heart of hearts. Interesting note, by the way, on the Jazz, one other shooting note on us. We're 41% on corner threes, 42% on corner threes, with Joe Ingles being 2 of 19 for the season. And Donovan's only 26%. Both those guys are nearly 50%. If we continue, we'll continue to get these looks and be really, really quite good. Today's show is brought to you in part by Murdoch Chevy. Murdoch Chevy, located in Woods Cross. Been with Utah. Murdoch and Chevy and Utah have been connected for over 90 years. And the new Chevy Blazer I'm driving right now is getting rave reviews. Actually, I have probably the car I've driven and had more people stop me and ask me about than any car I've ever driven. People want to know about it. What is it? Wow, it looks nice. Wow, the size is great. I've been loving it. As the car taking it to the mountains, super. Driving it around with the skis in the back, absolutely perfect. When I've had the family in the car, super size, drives well, quiet, good pickup, good looking. This new Chevy Blazer. Plus, you've got the Silverado and the Colorado trucks, and you've got the SUV lineup that you know well. Suburban and Tahoe are the big mothers that are holding down the fort and getting it done, and they're beating down. They're the offensive line that's powering through, and then you got the quick... this quick Chevy Blazer with the Equinox, the Traverse, and the Trax, making those are the playmakers as the big mother load of the Suburban and the, I think this analogy is falling apart, of the Suburban and the Tahoe are plowing through the offensive line. Nonetheless, go stop by and see what Murdoch Chevy, Woods Cross, located also in Logan. All right, let's do an NBA Monday runaround. I always like to kind of update where the league is on Mondays with you. Dallas is real. We're really going to know if Dallas is real in the next month. They have a brutal schedule, and if they can stay together at 500 on it, then they're totally real. Like, they don't have to be like great on it. But if you look at the league right now, Dallas has the number two. Well, the Lakers surpassed them last night. Number three differential in all the NBA. They're 16-7, and they have the number three differential in the NBA. Milwaukee is 4 points better than the rest of the league. The Lakers are brilliant. Then Dallas, then Boston, then Philly, then Toronto. So the Jazz played four of the six best teams in the NBA and didn't look very good doing it. We're not up to that level right now. Clippers are 7. Houston is 8. For the season, Indiana's 9, Miami's 10, Denver's 11, and Utah's 12. Over the last 2 weeks, This jumps out a little bit. Houston is number two in the NBA in differential right now. Philadelphia's four, Boston's five. Detroit is on fire. They're sixth. Dallas, seven. Indiana, eight. Clippers, nine. Toronto, 10. Offensively, Milwaukee is the number one offense and defensive team. They're just killing people right now. Houston is the number two offense. Detroit's the number four. Dallas is the fifth best offense. For teams we're playing coming up here in the last 2 weeks, Oklahoma's 15th. Minnesota's actually 7th. Orlando's 19th. Golden State's 28th offensively. Best defensive teams in the NBA. The interesting one is Houston is the third best defense in the NBA over the last 2 weeks. A little surprising. Milwaukee's number one. Philadelphia's number two. We're obviously, we have slipped. We are 24th defensively in the last 2 weeks. I did a look at the star teams that are out there. The Lakers are crushing people. One of the reasons why is the Lakers, when they have Anthony Davis and LeBron on the floor together, they're plus 11. They've done that for about 1,100 possessions. What they're doing is they're circling LeBron back to open the second quarter against second units. It's not fair. Our game against him completely fell apart when Anthony Davis was suddenly guarded by Ed Davis. That's unfair. They're plus 14 when LeBron's on the floor without Anthony Davis. So they're actually better because it's against second units. And then when AD is on the floor without LeBron, they're actually minus or even. And they've only had 114 possessions all year without one of them on the floor. 114. Contrast, Clippers with both Kawhi and Paul George on the floor are just 2.9. With Kawhi and no Paul George, they're plus 13. With Paul George and no Kawhi, they're plus 8. But they've had 810 possessions without both of them. They may both not play tonight. And are minus 2.2 without them. Houston's interesting. James Harden and Russell Westbrook on the floor together. The Rockets are plus 6. You know, 1,100 possessions. With Harden and no Westbrook, they're plus 12 in 600. The minute they bring Westbrook on without Harden, they're a disaster. They're minus 11 when Westbrook's on without Harden. In 403 possessions, they've played just 45 possessions all year with both of them off. The crazy thing is if they got Westbrook is killing them, and they're still great. Dallas, with Luka and Kristaps on the floor together, are plus 10. They've done that for 2,000 possessions. Contrast that, Kawhi and Paul George have played 407. Anthony Davis and LeBron have played 1,100. They've done it for 2,000. With Luka on and no Kristaps, they're plus 14 in 400 possessions. With Kristaps and no Luka, which they've done almost none, they're even in 183 possessions. And the interesting one on Dallas is with both Luka and KP off the floor, the Mavericks are plus 21 in 384 possessions. So kind of wild. And that's the what the Lakers are. That makes the Lakers so great is they've only had 114 possessions with both Anthony Davis and LeBron off the floor. So they're having one of those guys on the floor at all times, which means for a bunch of circumstances, they're having them on the floor against second tier players. I mean, that's feels illegal. And it's why the Lakers are so great. We just don't have that, right? That's we're missing that. We don't have that second, that star that's leading us against the second unit in the same way. Anthony Davis last night was stupid. 50.7 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 steals. I mean, stupid. So anyway, interesting to see how these things continue to evolve. The Jazz have not got that quite that same mix, and those teams are all just on a different level than we are right now. The Rockets are rolling, but it's not clear to me that the Westbrook factor is going to be enough of a positive influence to overcome that. He's just continually pulling them back down. All right, that is Locked On Jazz today. Jazz and the Oklahoma City Thunder tickets are available. Also, the Ford All-You-Can-Eat Zone tickets are available, so make sure you go grab those. Monday edition of Locked On NBA is Josh Lloyd talking about the biggest stories of the local experts. I'm one of them. We touch on the Jazz, so tell your smart device right now to play the most recent episode of podcast Locked On NBA. And also, there's a new edition of Hollinger and Duncan out as well. Thanks very much for tuning in.